Blog Talk Radio.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number one albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Good morning, and welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keyes, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. And now I'm on Instagram. Lots of cool pictures. Check me out. If you tag me in a photo, you might win a prize. I'll be giving away some copies of Misty Copeland's book, so you definitely want to follow me at Joy Keyes or become a fan on Facebook. I believe Misty is on the line right now.
Yes. Hi,
Good
Joy.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for fitting me in. I know your schedule is just so crazy. I really, really appreciate you fitting me in this morning.
Of course, of course.
Well, let me tell the audience, some people may not be familiar with you. I don't know why that would be, but anyway. your name is Misty Copeland, and you are the third African-American solo dancer with American Ballet Theater, I believe, in the
yes.
history of the ballet company. You started dancing when you were about 13 years old,
mm-hmm.
and you have played in, numerous ballets. I can't even mention them all. recently, you were honored the Lenora Annenberg Fellowship in the Arts and also the Boys and Girls Club National Hall of Fame. You were nominated in 2012.
Yeah.
So you are, world-renowned, stellar dancer, but that's not where it began, is it?
No. it's been an amazing ride so far, and I'm still, in the midst of my career, so it's far from over. But I have my book, Life in Motion, that came out a couple of weeks ago. It's now a New York Times bestseller, which is insane. And it really just chronicles my life, as a child and throughout starting ballet at 13 at a Boys and Girls Club in California where I grew up, and only training for 4 years before I went on to dance for American Ballet Theatre in New York City. So it just shares all of my struggles and accomplishments and what I've learned from those experiences, and just to try and motivate young dancers or young children who may come from hardship and be able to relate and be able to dream bigger than they think is possible.
Let me tell the audience, you didn't want to be a ballet dancer. I was reading in a book. At first, you were like, what, ballet? You were doing your drill team. You were the captain. You knew you were hot stuff. And then we talked to this ballet thing. And talk to the audience, really, because I read the book. So, what was going through your mind when you were looking at the other students doing ballet?
Well, I had no introduction to dance in any way, really, growing up. I was, a very ordinary, typical kid. I was really shy, and I never wanted to put myself out there and be kind of singled out for anything. I also didn't feel like I was really particularly good at anything. So when I decided that I wanted to try out for the dance team at my middle school, I had a love for music, and I liked moving to the music, but it was always in behind closed doors in my bedroom. So when I was made captain, it was kind of a shock, like, oh, I might be good at this. And from there, I was pushed to take a ballet class, and that was just so far outside of my realm of comfort. I'd never seen ballet. I'd never heard classical music. So it was all really foreign to me, and of course, being the shy girl that I was, I did not want to do it. It just was so unfamiliar and scary to me. But once I, was told, wow, you really have a special gift from, my teacher told me this. I'd never seen anyone who could pick up the movement as quickly as you. That's when I started to believe that I might have a future in ballet.
Well, this is a really tough industry. The dance industry doesn't hold anything back, and as you mentioned in your book, it's a severe criticism throughout your career, even when you hit, quote-unquote, may be a peak. Mm-hmm. There is always another dancer coming up behind you. one of the things that you share in the book is battling issues with weight and also battling the issues of racism. What can you tell, or what do you tell young women, young African-American women, young Latino women, women of color that are trying to break into the industry, when you see them, how to battle, what shield can you give them to deal with those issues of weight and also racism?
Well, I think you have to really know yourself, and I know that that takes time, but I think that if you don't have belief in yourself, then you're in this world where everyone's competing, then no one else is going to believe in you. And that took me a while, and it definitely helped with the support of having mentors in my life. And I think that's important, something that, you know, as an adolescent, it's hard to accept help and guidance. And I think you have to be open enough and vulnerable to be able to let people in to then guide you and make you stronger. It's a difficult field to be in, and that's something that we know stepping into, you know, being in front of a live audience, the criticism. And you have to really love it, because there's no point in doing it if you don't love it, because no matter what it is you're up there doing, if you're perfect in someone's eyes, the next person may think you're absolutely wrong. You know, it's a subjective art form, and you have to really accept and own that and do it for yourself and for the love of the art form.
Now, some of the things people may not know, that you need sponsors. You have certain sponsors. And then also you have people who are your mentors. Some of your mentors have been on the show. Victoria Rao has been on the show. Susan Fayle Hill has been on the show. But talk to the young dancers about the need for, I guess, having a sponsor of sorts, because the materials are so expensive. How can they go about getting that sponsor?
Well, I don't know about the sponsorship. I mean, my experience was that I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to be brought into my school on full scholarship. Sponsors, when you're talking about a classical company at a professional level, is a different situation, where a sponsor may come on just to support a dancer. But there are so many programs that you can contact about getting scholarships. There's a diversity initiative that's been started with American Ballet Theatre and the Boys and Girls Clubs of America called Project Plié, and you can learn about that on abt.org, and that's something that is so near to my heart, and it's really just trying to diversify ballet and give equal opportunity to kids who are in, you know, impoverished communities and come from a background that may not, you know, be likely for them to step into the classical arts, but giving them opportunity even at their local club to get top-notch training. So that's definitely, I think it's about doing research, and internet is great for that.
Definitely, definitely. Now, one of the cool things you had an opportunity to do, and I thought it was cool because I like this particular artist, work with the artist Prince.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, and just, I don't even know, like, you got a text message. I wouldn't believe it. Like, really? You got a text message?
Yeah.
Talk to the audience about that just briefly, you know?
Yeah, I've had really amazing opportunities, and I think it's one of the things that has been a blessing in disguise is, you know, not fitting into the typical mold of a classical dancer and being different. And I feel like it can be more relatable to people who are not, you know, a part of this world, to feel that, okay, I can see myself through her because she looks like me, or she comes from a background that is different and not typical.
Mm.
So I think that because I had all of those qualities, I was seen by people beyond the ballet world, and Prince was one of those people who reached out to me and just really said, you know, he appreciated what I was doing with my art form and for my community as an African-American woman, and he brought me in to L.A. to perform in a music video of his. This was like 4 years ago, maybe. And then I ended up touring mm-hmm. with him on and off for about 2 years through Europe. I performed with him at Madison Square Garden. But he was also one of the mentors that, you know, really helped me to understand how to grow as an artist and how to respect my art form and be vulnerable at times. He was incredible to be around and to watch on stage.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing. Now, you're also working on a children's book. Can you talk about
yeah.
that? That's coming out in the fall.
It's so exciting. It's really crazy that the memoir just came out, and the children's book is already, you know, we're starting to promote it. It's with Penguin Publishing, and it's with Christopher Myers, who's an incredible writer and illustrator, and we definitely connected on so many levels with this book. It's called Firebird, and it's based somewhat around a relationship I have with a mentor of mine, Raven Wilkinson, who was one of the first African-American ballerinas with the Ballet Russe in the 50s. And just, it's kind of as if we're switching places. So I'm taking on the role that Raven played with me and a young dancer who's kind of looking up to me, and I'm guiding her along the way. So it's exciting to be able to reach those young dancers out there in a positive way.
Well, I think it's great because the arts changed my life completely. I went to a elementary school that had dance and visual art and theater, and then I ended up going the theater route, and it really changed my life. I had the opportunity to go out the country. So the arts, for me, are very close to my heart, and I really applaud you for reaching out to the young kids because it really can save a child's life, I think. And it also gives discipline. It expands creativity. I mean, I was just speaking to my previous guest about all these issues. Now, one other thing, you are getting a film made about your life by Nelson George, who has also been on the show. Talk about that experience. Wow, like being under a microscope.
It hasn't felt that way. Nelson's a good friend of mine. We met at a dinner party, and he'd never been to a ballet. He actually missed like an NBA Finals game to come see me perform as a Firebird, and he let me know that too. And he said, you know what, it was worth it. It was his first ballet. He fell in love with it, and he was like, we have to do something together. So that's how that got started. We had no idea what the project was going to be. We just started filming. So it's been over a year that he's been kind of following me through my journey of recovering from surgery last year and interviewing other African-American female ballerinas, you know, past, present, and sharing their stories. I think it's important for people to hear all of our stories. Not everyone's had the struggles that I've had. Some are worse. Some, you know, feel that they are so welcomed in this art form, and I think it's important to share that. So it's been a fun ride. I can't wait for everyone to see it.
Where do we see Misty 10 years from now, 20 years from now? What is Misty going to be doing? Is Missy going to be dancing? Is she going to be taking a class down the street?
I'll be taking a class down the street for sure.
You'll be taking a class? Okay.
I don't think
what else will Missy be doing?
Dancing. You know, I know that I was put here to be a part of ballet and to share my story. I don't think I will ever leave the ballet world. I'll be connected in some way, whether it's through, you know, a foundation or, you know, helping to mentor other dancers or coaching. But I hope to have had a full career within 10 years and to have a family and be, you know, just happy and exposing ballet to as many people as possible, diversifying it still.
Now, one of the things, just real quick, we only have a couple minutes, in terms of taking care of yourself, you talk about in the book the discipline of always taking a class and that how important that is. Also, you talk about your diet, not in a negative sense of watching your weight, but in terms of energizing you and kind of eating to live type of thing. What did Misty have for breakfast this morning? Do you mind me asking?
No, not at all. It's actually pretty bad. You know, I'm good about what I put in my body, and I know that I need to use it as fuel. But I have the same breakfast every morning, and it's a blueberry muffin and a coffee. And I know I get teased all the time, like, you might as well be eating a piece of cake. But, you know, that's like my thing I do in the morning. And then, you know, class is early. So as soon as class ends at 11:45, then I'm eating, you know, I have nuts in my bag. I have dried fruit. I like salad, sushi. But diet is definitely a bigger part of what people think of when they think of taking care of their bodies. It's not all just about working out. But diet is definitely so important and key when you're an athlete.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I know you have to go to rehearsal, and I just want to say thank you and much success to you and
thank
all your
you.
Future endeavors. And don't forget, I'll be giving away copies of your book, so if you want to tweet about that, they can follow me.
I will. Awesome. Thank you so much for having me and for the support.
Thank you so much. Have a great
thank
rehearsal.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got off the phone with ballet dancer Misty Copeland. She has so many things going on in her life right now. There's a movie being made about her life. Her book just came out about her life, Life in Motion. She has a children's book coming out in September, so you definitely want to check her out. She's on Twitter, Misty on Point on Twitter. Her website is mistycopeland.com. You can also follow me at Joy Keys, or become a fan on Facebook. And also I'm on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. I'll be giving away a copy of her book, so you got to follow to know how to win, or tag me, and you might be a random winner on Instagram. You guys have a wonderful Saturday, and thank you so much for tuning into the show.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number one albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Autism Speaks, it's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.